I'd like to speak this morning on a thought about what will your portion be? What will your portion be? Maybe a little different than what you'd expect in a missionary service, but this is what God has given us for today. In the book of Job, chapter 31 and verse 2, praise the name of the Lord. Amen. How many will give me 5 minutes here? 5, 10, 15, okay. Amen. We'll try to get to the point here. And I mean, I know some have to leave with the bus minister. We understand all that, but I want to follow the God just for a few minutes here. The word says, for what portion of God is there from above, and what inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Lord God, we just pray that you administer and move this day as you already have. You've already spoken to us, Lord, two or three times. We thank you for that. And Lord God, we just pray that now the word would come home to our hearts and that you would challenge us one more time this morning. We'll give the glory and the praise for it all. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Portions. Portions. Amen. I was thinking, you know, that we sang the first hymn here, and there was one line in that song by Horatio Spafford that said, talked about whatever my lot may be. A lot is a portion. You know, whatever your portion may be in life, whatever your lot may be in life, amen. That word portion is used many times, and the idea of that is definitely many times in the Bible. It says in Psalm 142 and 5, I cried unto thee, O Lord, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. God needs to be our portion. Ecclesiastes 9 and 9 says, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life. And in thy labor which thou hast taken under the sun. Luke 15 and 12, another example. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided them his living. Amen. That's interesting there. Amen. Especially Luke 10 and 42. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. It's the same Greek word portion. She's chosen that good portion which shall not be taken away from her. You see here, it's interesting because Jesus is talking, amen, about Mary choosing the good portion in comparison to Martha that hadn't chosen the right portion. Amen. Portion. We all are served portions in life. Amen. And some people said it's like a bucket of KFC chicken. You stick your hand in the bucket, you don't know what your portion may be. It may be a leg, a thigh, a breast, or maybe even a wing, you know. And that's kind of the way it is in life sometimes. There's some things in life that we don't know what our portion will be. Amen. But yet God has a portion for each of us. I can kind of divide it up in three different ways. All of us have an earthly portion. When we think about an earthly portion, you know, some of us are born, I mean, with a gold spoon or a silver spoon in our mouth. Maybe none of us here, but there's people that are born with a great inheritance, you know, and their earthly portion, they're just millionaires from their birth. There's other people that their earthly portion is they were born in Haiti and they were born in a family that didn't even have a roof over their head. But that was the earthly portion. So you see, sometimes the portion in life, the earthly portion, sometimes is not of our election, of our choosing. Sometimes it's not what we'd like it to be. Amen. But just like Horatio Spafford said, whatever my lot may be, amen, whatever your portion may be, whether you're rich or poor or famous or non-famous, amen, you can still serve the Lord. You can go on. You say, Lord, whatever my lot may be, whatever my portion may be, amen, I'm going to take it and make the best I can out of it for your glory, an earthly portion. There's also an everlasting portion. Thank God, John 3:16 and many other verses tell us about that everlasting portion. It's for whosoever will. Amen. Whether it's Mexico, El Salvador, Ohio, Guatemala, it doesn't matter. But you can have that everlasting portion. Amen. You can say, yes, Lord, I've accepted it. Thank God it didn't matter about my skin color. It didn't matter about my pedigree. It didn't matter about my finances. Oh, I just opened my heart and I said, Lord, come in. And he took control and he saved my soul. That everlasting portion. But then not only is there an earthly portion, an everlasting portion, I got this third group that I call the electable portion. You know, there are some portions in life that you and I decide whether we're going to have or not. It's not always easy, amen, but life is full of choices. And because it's full of choices, we must accept the responsibility of choosing correctly. Amen. You know, it's very important how we choose. Sometimes young people, not only young people, but people have trouble in making right decisions in life to make a difference in that electable portion in their life. I'm not just talking about finances. It could be any area, but I'm thinking, especially here, I think of my youngest son, Cody. He's 17, and we have kind of a thing we do in our family that I give them half their allowance, every week, but the other half we put it in a savings account, you know, and kind of let it build up until they're 18 years old. Well, he already knows what his allowance saved up is going to be, and he lacks a half a year or better of being that, but he's so impulsive that instead of worrying, thinking about investing or what it could be, he's already got in mind the car that he wants, and he's trying to ask Dad. He said, Dad, can you take that money out? And right now I found a good deal on a car. And I look at that amount, and it's almost the same amount of money that he's got saved. He hasn't thought about, well, where the insurance is going to come from, the gas money and other things. But, you know, sometimes that's the way we are in life. We're impulsive. We want the joy of the moment. We want what can make us feel good right now. And we're missing sometimes greater things, the electable portion. If life gives you lemons, what are you going to do? Just pucker up and suck on it? Or are you going to add some sugar, amen, and make it palatable to your taste buds? Portions, portions. There are all kinds of portions in life. You have a portion. I have a portion, whether it be electable or whether it be earthly, but especially about the spiritual line of the portion. I want to get at that. Because the Bible not only speaks about portions that we read about, but there's a line of also double portions. You know, it's unfortunate. A lot of people haven't even tasted the first portion. Amen. But there's some of us that have tasted that. Oh, and we're desirous and hungry for that double portion, that second portion. Amen. And I found five different areas. It doesn't always say double portion in the Bible, but it has that idea that I thought were interesting when it talks about double portions. There is a double portion by natural order, according to the Jews especially. The eldest son of the family was entitled to a double inheritance of his father. Deuteronomy 21 and 17 tells us that he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he hath. Boy, I mean, it's good to be a Jew, isn't it? If you're the firstborn, you get a double portion automatically. Amen. A double portion of all the inheritance, all the blessing, all the wealth of the family. I also found in the Bible there's an example of a double portion of mercy in tribulation. You see, that's an extra selection of blessing giving to minimize a grief that someone's going through. Example of this is 1 Samuel 1 and 5, the story we probably know about Hannah, who was, you know, couldn't have a child. She was barren. Amen. And she was there, and she was crying before the Lord, wanting a child. Amen. The Bible says that, you know, her husband there, he loved Hannah. He knew the Lord had shut up her womb. So Elkanah, he decided to give her a greater portion due to her barrenness. And that greater portion, again, in the Hebrew, if I understand it right, is basically saying a double portion. I mean, he'd already planned on blessing her, but because he wanted to show mercy in her tribulation, he said, I'm willing to give you a double portion of blessing, a double portion of help to encourage you along the way. That's just like our God, isn't it? Amen. You know, sometimes when we're going through tribulation and trials and difficult times in life, amen, God's looking down on us and he said, I just want to show you some mercy. And sometimes we're not focusing correctly. We don't see that blessing he's trying to pour upon us. We just keep looking at the problem. But God's willing and desirous to even bless us more if we let him. There's also a double portion of recompense for the faithful. So don't get bitter. Stay on course. Job 42 is an example of this. It says, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he had prayed for his friends. And also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Amen. The oldest book of the Bible. Amen. This man of God, Job. I mean, he had a bunch of things to start out with. But the Bible says at the end, God gave him a double portion. Because he stayed faithful. He didn't get bitter, but he got better. Amen. You might say, well, Brother Benner, he didn't give him a double portion of his children. Because the Bible says he just gave him seven more. He had seven to begin. Well, you know, human beings have souls that are eternal. So even though he lost them down here, amen, he's rejoicing in heaven with all 14 of them now if they all lived right. Amen. So he did have a double portion. God gave him a double portion for being faithful. And I believe that it's a principle. It doesn't say exactly in the Word of God that you're going to have double of everything. But I believe if you'll be faithful to God, I mean, there's going to be an abundant blessing, an abundant portion that'll be your lot if you do that. Praise God. Amen. Unfortunately, there's also a double portion of judgment for those that don't live right. The Bible says in Revelation 18 and 6, reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works in the cup which she hath filled to her double. Amen. Speaking about Babylon, speaking about the end times, speak about those that, amen, that aren't willing to get on board and serve God. Amen. There's going to be a judgment coming, but and God said it's going to even be a double. I mean, God's a God of the double, and he likes to pour out double blessings, but if you get on the wrong side of him, it could be a double judgment. Amen. That's not really where I want to go completely, but I just wanted you to understand the principle of the double portion in the Bible there. Amen. Because Elisha, he received a double portion as well. If you go over to 2 Kings here, 2 Kings 2 and verse 9, it says, "And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." Amen. That was Elisha's request. Amen. There's another verse that I want to add with this because you may think, well, Elisha was a special prophet way out there and God just did a special work. But Romans 2 and 11 says, there is no respect of persons with God. So what he did for Elisha, he's willing to do for you if you're willing to pay the price. If you're willing to be disciplined, if you're willing to make the sacrifice, amen, if you're willing to be determined, I believe that, you know, God's no respecter of person. He would like to give you a double portion of his spirit if you desire it, if you're hungry for it. Amen. You may, you know, Elijah, he said, just ask what you want and I'll give it to you. That's what he was telling him. Elisha wouldn't leave his side there. And, you know, I thought, well, Elisha could ask for a lot of things. He could ask for that new Cadillac. He could ask for that new mansion over there. He said, well, Elijah, if you're giving away things, God's using it, just give me this. Amen. But his mind wasn't on earthly things. His mind was on, God, what could benefit me most in my spiritual life? How, just kind of like I talked about William Booth at the end of his life, he was still concerned about others. Others. The last message he gave when people was to think about others. Amen. I'll tell you, a man of God, a woman of God, pastor, amen, that loves the Lord, he loves the flock of God, he loves people in general, and he's desirous to see others helped. And I believe Elisha was there. He said, Lord, if I could just get a double portion. I've seen Elijah out there ministering. I've seen Elijah out there. He has that heart for God. And I've seen the difference that it makes. And so, Elijah, amen, you think God would give me a double portion? You think I could get a double portion? Amen. If I could, it could make a difference. I believe he observed and saw how the Spirit of God enabled a person to do great things for God. He said he wanted it even more. Elisha was craving. Oh, God, I want a double portion. Ah, that man of God, he's done a lot. And it's not a matter of competition. I'm not saying, well, bless God, look, I got more than the pastor got. I'm worse. But no, no. But I've seen what you've done for Prophet Elijah. Oh, God, if you would just do that for me, give me a double portion of that. I believe that he perceived how the Spirit empowered a person to minister to the needs of others. And he desired all the more. Oh, God, that I could minister like that, that I could see souls saved. Amen. If you're going to look at anybody in history that's done anything for God, amen, you can look at them and you can admire them, but your goal and your desire should be, God, what they've done, if you would just bless me that I could do that and more, do that and more. If you start craving after it spiritually, God will be your help. I believe that Elisha, he came to a point to realize that the Spirit of God residing in a person shapes and molds that person to be so much more like God. So he boldly asked for a double portion of the Spirit of God that he had seen in work in the life of Master Elijah. A double portion. A double portion. Amen. Double portions of many things in this world are obtainable if you're willing to pay for them. Amen. You know, we have all kinds of restaurants we go to, and amen, I guess if you wanted to order twice the same menu, you could do that, or you can go to a buffet and pay a bigger price, and you can have the double portions. It costs you a little more. Costs you a little more. Amen. But unfortunately, those things don't satisfy very long. But what I'm preaching about and talking about, that double portion of the Spirit of God, amen, it'll cost you something. I'm not going to say it's completely free. It won't cost you silver or gold or dollars or coins. But it'll cost you saying, yes, Lord, I'm willing to give up, amen, my self-willed life. I'm willing to die myself and take my cross, amen, because, Lord, I see that the spiritual is so much important and more important than the temporal and the earthly. Amen. If you're willing to say, yes, well, that's why I want a double portion, Lord. It's not to make myself haughty or lifted up or make myself look good, but it's because it's all about you and it's all about souls. Oh, Lord, would you give me that double portion? Hallelujah. It will cost you something. Amen. I thought about, you know, that same passage of Scripture, and for sake of time, I'm not going to go all those verses in 2 Kings, but it talked about Elijah and Elisha, and, you know, Elijah kept saying, well, Elisha, just stay back here. Stay back here. And it talks about 50 other prophets that were evidently good men. I have no reason to judge them wrongly. But the Bible says these other 50 men, they kept staying back, and they kept almost kind of making fun of Elisha for going on. They say, hey, Elijah's going to be taken away today. Elisha, what are you going to do about it? Amen. I'm going to go follow him. I'm staying up there close to him. And the Bible says that even when Elijah was taken away in that whirlwind, the 50 prophets were way off on another hill looking and just viewing from a distance. I see an appetite problem there. It was all a show. Amen. And I'm not here to down anybody necessarily today, but I mean, if you come to church just because it's a show and you want to see the show go on and you want to see what excitement there may be there and you're just viewing from a distant place, you're missing it. But if you have a hunger and a thirst for God that says, oh, bless God, I'm not getting too far from the altar. I'm not getting too far from the man of God where I see the Spirit of God moving because, hey, amen, I want a double portion of what he has and what he's received. Amen. This may come by a little funny to you, but you know, if you've been feasting on a double portion, it'll be noticeable. I'm a prime example, right? Amen. Amen. If you eat well, if you like good portions, I mean, you're not going to hide it from anybody. Amen. Not only in the physical, but I think the very same principle is true in the spiritual, brothers and sisters. Amen. If you have received a double portion from the throne of God, from the Master of Heaven, it's going to be noticeable. It's going to be evident. Amen. You can't be around people without them realizing that God is all over you and all in you. Amen. And he's doing things through you. And it's making a difference. It's making a difference for time and eternity. Amen. Amen. God needs to help some of us because some of us aren't really hungry for a double portion. We're just willing to make it by. We're just willing to, amen, the pastor taught on the status quo. Oh, we don't need a status quo revival. We need something beyond that. We need a double portion revival. We need a hunger and a thirsting for that. Oh, they said, God, I've got to have more. I've got to have even a greater amount from you than I ever had before. Amen. So what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? The Lord is the Lord of the double portion. He's wanting to give it out. And if you follow the life of Elisha, well, you'll find out, amen, that as Elijah went to heaven and Elisha stayed behind, that man will fall upon him. But the Bible talks about all the miracles he'd done after Elijah left, and there were twice as many as Elijah did. Now, I don't think Elisha was down there making a count and just make sure he doubled what Elijah had. No, you can count it in the Bible. We find that out. But Elisha was just saying, oh, man, I'm so full of God. Amen. I'm loving this and enjoying this. Oh, this was my desire. This is what I crave for. And I'm doing it for the God that I love. And you know what? The double portion that Elisha had didn't end when he died. I thought this was interesting because over in 2 Kings 13, verses 20 and 21, it talks about there was a band, I think it was Syrians, a band of the enemy. And they had a man that they was needing to bury, and that the enemy was coming along, but they was close to the grave, close to the tomb of Elisha. And Elisha's down there, his dead bones are down there. And they just said, well, here's the book. We don't have time to give him a decent burial, so they just throw him in, and lo and behold, he comes alive. You know why? Because that double portion of the Spirit of God, even after the man of God was dead and gone, hey, the Spirit was there to revive and to touch another heart and a life for the glory of God. Amen. Your testimony will follow you. After this life, if you just doing enough to get by in this life, amen, and I'm not going to tell you if you're going to go to heaven or not go to heaven, that's between you and God. But if you're just trying to get by and get your cottage in glory, land, you may get it. But what about the people that are following you? What about your children, your grandchildren, and those that you made an impact on? Amen, you still can make a difference. Because if you have a double portion, if you live a life full of the double portion of the grace and the mercy and the blessings of God, oh, it'll follow you beyond this life. And it'll touch others. It'll follow you thereafter. Hallelujah. I don't know if I did my homily in 10 minutes or not, brother, but amen, I feel like I brought it to a point. I trust I got my point across. Could we stand across the congregation this morning? Hallelujah. Oh, what will your portion be? Amen. I'm not talking about the earthly. Amen. I trust you've already took care of the everlasting. But if you haven't taken care of the everlasting, I want you to do that today as well. If you're here, sinner friend, and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, these altars are already open. And I want you to come a running and say, yes, Lord, I want to get saved. But even beyond that, I want to talk to my Christian brothers and sisters just for a second as we make this altar call. Because there is an electable portion for you that some of you are not taking advantage of. And you say, Brother Benny, you're coming kind of judgmental and harsh. I'm not trying to. I'm just trying to obey the Spirit of God. I want God, sometimes we have to have our attention wakened up. Sometimes we have to be shook out of sleep, amen. Arise and wake out of sleep, oh you that sleep. Hallelujah, and see how things really are. Are you hungering after God as you used to? Are you desirous for that double portion like you used to be? Are you just willing to just kind of blend in? Status quo, average Joe Blow on the pew. Average is not good enough. You'll only make a difference If you can have the craving and the desire like Elijah had, God, I want to make a difference in this world. I want to be more like you. I want a passion and a burden for the lost. I just can't seem to get there. No, you can't get there on your own. Oh, but if you desire even a little bit and you follow that appetite to an altar and say, oh God, here I am. Here I am, Lord Jesus. Whet that appetite a little more by your Spirit and give me a double portion. Give me a double portion. Is there anybody here that feels that hunger? Anybody here feel that thirsting? I'm asking you to come down. The altars are open. You can come a standing, you can come a kneeling, come however you need, but I believe the Spirit of God is in this place. He'd like to help some of us. He'd like to raise up some more. Hallelujah, to go, whether it's across the street or across the world. There's souls that need to be lost. But if you haven't even got the first portion, you'll never take a portion of the lost. So you say, God, fill me up. Give me that double portion of your Spirit. Let it reside and remain in me to make a difference. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I praise you. You're in the house. You're in the house today. Oh, pour out your Spirit upon your people. Create in us, Lord, a greater and a deeper hunger, a thirst for things above. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Do it for these young people. Do it for these moms and dads. We can make a difference. But it all begins with us. It all begins with us. Oh, create in me. Create in me that thirst.
The more that we taste of you.